The big Washington Healthcare Summit begins.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. After months of healthcare wrangling in D.C., lawmakers are looking to refresh the process today with a bipartisan healthcare summit. Now, when this reform debate began a year ago, it was about slowing the rising cost of care. And somewhere along the line, it became more about access to care. Well, from Marketplace's health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner says lawmakers are getting back to talking about costs.
President Obama hasn't been shy about warning us about the rising cost of health care. Here's his last weekly address.
We'll see more and more Americans go without the coverage they need. We'll see exploding premiums and out-of-pocket costs burn through more and more family budgets.
His plan for reform would cut those costs by requiring all Americans to buy insurance. That's the way insurance works. If you mandate more healthy people to buy in, there's more money in the pool, and premiums can go down for everyone.
But if you're going to have a mandate, you have to provide subsidies so that insurance is affordable for those with relatively modest incomes.
That's Henry Aaron of the Brookings Institution.
And if you're going to have subsidies and not blow the budget out of the water, you got to do a couple of things.
Like raise taxes, which no one likes to support, or cut spending on other aspects of health care. And that brings us back to the whole cost-cutting thing. Here's Steven Zuckerman of the Urban Institute.
The cost of that care and the volume of the services that people receive really may be too high.
He says health care is too pricey, and there's too much of it. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
This could be a sad day if you're a fan of the Hummer SUV. That brand looks dead. General Motors was trying to sell Hummer to a Chinese company, but from Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong tells us regulators in Beijing failed to accept the deal.
Chinese regulators deny they nixed the Hummer deal. They say the application was incomplete. But some analysts say the deal just didn't match China's energy priorities. Michael Lasky runs the China office at AVL, an engine design firm. Sticking a Chinese logo on the biggest guzzler on the planet, well,
it really wasn't clear what that does to the image of the Chinese automotive industry.
In any event, the $150 million deal for a Chinese white knight to save Hummer is off. Lasky says this shows that Beijing is not a fan of Chinese automakers shopping offshore.
There is not a policy of encouragement for companies to go out and acquire costly foreign brands, which might not have been very profitable. I think that's seen as a highly risky type of approach.
But analysts say this won't hit the brakes on every Chinese outbound deal. Less risky approaches may still get through. One Chinese maker is about to buy Volvo from Ford. Another just bought assets from GM's Saab division. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Shanghai stocks rose today, but generally stocks are mixed. Asian shares lost around 1% today. Major European markets are slightly lower. The European Commission today stuck to its latest growth forecast, a meager 0.7%. Wall Street shares gained yesterday, with the Dow adding 91 points to 10,374.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term goals. 1-888-VANGUARD. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services.
Senate negotiators working on new Wall Street regulations seem to be easing up on the big commercial banks. President Obama wants strict limits on those institutions, but sources say to reach a bipartisan compromise, the senators are moving away from some of those limits. Now, people who don't like the new financial regulations warn that if you come down too hard on Wall Street, you risk limiting financial innovation. So what really is financial innovation, and is it really so great? Marketplace's economics correspondent Chris Farrell is here. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
What are some of the wonderful financial innovations to come out of Wall Street?
Well, we have to sort of set the scene here. Paul Volcker, the legendary former Federal Reserve Board chairman, stood in front of a room full of financiers and says, you know what? You people talk about innovation all the time. Only thing I can think of that's made any real difference is the ATM.
Ooh.
This is a machine. Now, that really hurt. And so I've been fascinated with this issue, and a lot of people agree with Volcker, but I think there has been more innovation. The equity index fund.
Yeah, it's not managed. You just plunk your money in an index fund.
And you just do as well as that index or as poorly as that index.
Yep.
The money market mutual fund really changed the way we save, at least with our short-term money. Another one would be the early generation securitization of mortgages. So before we got to all the abuses of slicing and dicing into little tiny pieces, I think the early generation securitization of mortgages helped out.
So these proposals to re-regulate the financial industry, would they tamp down on financial innovation or wouldn't they?
I mean, the industry loves to shout from the skyscrapers that this is going to destroy innovation. It's not going to. And in fact, I would argue that we will see more good innovation with some of the regulatory proposals, because businesses, financiers are going to have to work with transparency, with better capital requirements, and with the customer in mind. And what we know is when you create products that are good for the customer, now that's an innovation.
Marketplace's economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Now, I have a correction. Yesterday, we did a piece about a direct-to-consumer website called Alice.com, and we said incorrectly that the site sells information about its users to manufacturers. Not true. Alice.com gives manufacturers data about the overall sales of their products. And finally, Stephanie Madoff, daughter-in-law of convicted Ponzi schemer Bernie Madoff, is legally changing her last name to escape being associated with the crime. You would think she'd choose a name that no one resents and has nothing to do with investing. Actually, her new last name is Morgan. She could have gone with Stephanie Citigroup. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.